The book of Hebrews. Come right on in. You know, someone may be thinking, why are we studying Hebrews? It's a Jewish book. For the same reason we study the book of James, it's a Jewish book. Matthew is a Jewish book. Yet, what's unique about the book of Hebrews? Okay, well, the writer we don't know. The book of Hebrews doesn't tell us who wrote it. There's a lot of speculations out there. It could be this one, that one, and it really doesn't matter. It's an inspired book. If you don't know much about Scripture, you'll look at Hebrews and you'll think, what is this about? Hebrews is one of the most extraordinary books that you could ever read through and study. Because Hebrews is defining exactly who Jesus is. We're getting it from the perspective that all these Old Testament things that were written aforetime, they're about Jesus. That's why we took time in our class. We talked about the burnt offering. We talked about the peace offering, the grain offering, the sin offering, and the trespass offering. Every single one of those offerings are what Jesus was about. He fulfilled. He was each of those offerings. We say, well, I'm glad I didn't have to go do those animal sacrifices. He was the ultimate sacrifice and fulfilled those in every way. And that's why we need to see his superiority. That's why you study the book and you see his exaltedness, that what God has exalted him to the right hand. He sits in a position of power and might because of the name that he holds. Now, as we looked at that, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, this is the subject matter of the book, just to let you know. Let's just read it since it's a subject matter. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days he has spoken to us in his Son. That's the subject matter. God has spoken to us in Jesus. Why did he start it this way? This is the words of God. Jesus has spoken, Valerie said, and there's not any more words coming. Today we hear people running around. They want to give more, said that Jesus gave another covenant. No, he didn't. He gave once. He spoke it one time, and there's no more coming. He has spoken. That tense, that past tense, says it's a one-time thing. And there's never any more coming. That's it. And so here God, he did many things back here in the Old Testament. He spoke in the prophets and to the prophets. Now he's spoken to us in his Son. What's the value of that? Okay, it's about him. Listen, hold this for just a second. Come over to Acts 3. With me right quick. Acts chapter 3. This is what Peter and John said the day that they'd been teaching in Jerusalem to the Jewish people back there. Acts chapter 3. And look at what Peter and John quote about Jesus. Acts chapter 3, look at verse 22. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you, talking about the Jews, a prophet like me from among your brethren. To him you shall give heed to everything he says to you. And it will be that every soul that does not heed that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. What's the statement? What's he letting them know? There's another prophet coming like Moses. And what about him? What's so unique about this one coming? If you don't heed, there's going to be some consequences if you don't listen to this prophet. Who's he speaking of? He's talking about Jesus, yes. So why do we start the book of Hebrews? God spoke in many portions and in many ways to the prophets of old. Now he's spoken to us in his Son. What had you better do? You better pay attention to what Jesus said and heed him because he's above all. And then he goes through and he makes here in Hebrews 1, he makes some statements about who Jesus is and that he's been seated at the right hand of God. He's been declared. He is greater than any of the Old Testament prophets. That's why we gave out this sheet. And we've got some on the table back there. If you didn't get one, you can pick one up. It's an oversight to the book of Hebrews. This is how God has spoken to us in his Son, that everything Jesus has said, you better give him heed because he's greater than anyone else that has spoken up to this time. He's greater than any of the prophets. He's greater, and in fact, he's going to go and show he's even greater than Moses himself. Continue on, if you would. Come back here to Hebrews 1. Look at verse 4. He says, having become as much better than the angels, as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. What is Jesus greater than? The angels. We talked about this briefly last week. Angels don't mean as much to us, but you know how many times back in that Old Testament, how did God communicate his word, his message to many of the people? He used angels. He would send them to him, and the angels would speak because the name of God were in each of those angels. And you better listen to what an angel said. The Jewish people had a great respect for angels. And so he's even got a better name than the angels. Why else was that important? Do you remember last week we brought up one reason about the angels? The what? That's what an angel is, messengers. We'll see that down in verse 14. But the angels are the one that communicated the law. The law was ordained by angels. Acts chapter 7, verse 52 and 53 tell us that. And so he's greater than the angels. And now he brings that up to these people, these Jewish brethren. And remember what they were wanting to do? They were wanting to go back under this old system. Is that really what you want to do? If you understand that God's spoken now through his Son, you better listen to him. He's greater than any of the angels who had ever spoken previously. And he's even got a better name than they do. He's going to show us that in a second. The power of angels, what's their power? They were God's messengers. one angel, 2 Samuel, in 2 Samuel chapter 24, David had risen up and he was going to take a census of the people. God told Moses in previous times, I will be the one to tell you when to take a census, because when you take a census, there will be a temple tax from the people. Well, David wanted to know how great his army was. They were being attacked. So he said, Satan moved him. And David took a census. They tried to stop David from doing it. David said, I'm the king. You do what I say. And it displeased the Lord greatly. One angel, there in 2 Samuel 24, in one day destroyed 70,000 people because of David's sin. And then this angel had raised a sword and he was about to strike Jerusalem itself. And God told him, relax your hand. Don't do it. And David saw the angel about to strike. And David pleaded to God, don't do this. I'm the one that caused the sin. The people didn't. 70,000 had already died. And 2 Samuel 24 said the angel of the Lord did it. So how powerful are angels? Can take down 70,000 people in one instant and can destroy a whole city. And then you've got places like 2 Kings 19, where King Sennacherib of the Assyrians had came up on Jerusalem to destroy it. One angel that night went to the Assyrian army. You remember how many of their soldiers he killed? 185,000 Assyrians. And the next morning, they get up, and all these soldiers are dead. One angel. 185,000 soldiers went down. Would you like an angel fighting on your side? See? Well, compared to angels, who is Jesus? He's better, he's more powerful, and this Jesus has spoken. And if he's better and greater than the angels, what do you need to do? Heed him. How many people today have difficulty accepting the teachings of Jesus and the things that are written in Scripture? Mo, look at all the different beliefs from one Scripture, from one Bible. People aren't listening to what Jesus says. They come up with their own ideas of what they want something to be. Well, this is the way I've always believed it. Did you get it from Scripture, from the things Jesus spoke, or did you get it from what you want to believe? Because you heard another person say it, another person teach it. You better be giving heed to this Jesus. And notice here he says in verse 4, having become as much better than the angels as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. What about his name? The name of Jesus. It's greater than any of the angels. What name does he have? Let's continue. Verse 5. He says, for to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. What angel took the name son? None. When did God declare Jesus the name Son? Now, listen to my question carefully. When did he declare to the world, this is my Son? No, he declared that to these witnesses that were there that day. He declared Son to some of the apostles. When did he do it to the world? Have you ever thought about that? Let me show you real quick. Come over to Acts chapter 13. Most of the time we don't pay attention to these little details. Acts chapter 13. Look at verse 33. And he's making a quote out of Psalm 2, and we're going to look at this psalm in just a second, but it's going to be real quick. Acts 13:33. That God has fulfilled this promise to our children, and that he raised up Jesus. It is also written in the second psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. When did he declare Jesus his son? When he raised him from the dead. That's when God made the declaration. This is my son. Show you one more real quick. Romans chapter 1. Look at verse 4, speaking of Jesus the Son. Romans 1:4, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. So, when did God declare him, that's my Son? Yeah, when he raised from the dead. God made this declaration. How important is him being son? What value does that have? Let me ask you this. What's the difference between your son and someone else's son? Yeah, because it's your son. Someone else's son is not your son, so there's this direct relationship that's precious to you. So if God calls him son, what's the value of that? Most think of blood relation. Okay, that's what makes our son precious to us, because of blood relation, right? See, what angel did he ever declare, that angel's my son? That angel destroyed 70,000 people, was about to destroy Jerusalem. That angel destroyed 185,000 soldiers. But you know what God never declared that angel is? That's not my son. This one is my son. Now, he quotes here in Hebrews 1. For to which of the angels, verse 5, for to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I've begotten you. And again, I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. What else has God declared about the Son? I'm the Father. I begot him. So if I'm the Father, and what did they do to the Father, to his Son? The Jews had him killed. Can you imagine that? All these prophets back here in the Old Testament had gotten many portions and many things from God about the Son. And now God's spoken to the Son. And what did the Jewish people do? They killed him. Now think about this. If God did, if they killed God's son, I'm the father. You kill my son. What do you think happened on that day of Pentecost in Acts 2? When all the nations were there in Jerusalem that day? And those apostles stood up and they began to preach. And what did they preach? You people murdered my son. We're going to look at it in just a second again. He called his son my anointed. Why would God ever give these people an opportunity to hear the truth and be saved? If someone murdered your son, how would you feel about the murderer? You wouldn't feel real close to him, would you? What if the judge let him off? That's not justice. What was God willing to do to these people on that day of Pentecost? I'll forgive you. What does it tell you about God? Should there ever be anything in any one of us to hold us back from forgiving? If that's our Father, you better listen to the Son. That's what He's trying to get us to see. Let's look at this Psalm real quick. Come back to Psalm 2 and then we'll come right back over. We won't take just a few moments for this. Psalm chapter 2. This is the quote out of Hebrews 1:5. Yes, sir, go ahead. That's a good point. That's true. You go back under that old, the blood of bulls and goats could never what? Take away sin. My son takes away sin. And he can forgive. So you don't want to be, you want to be under that old? Go ahead. Okay, so there's Acts 3, Acts 13, 38, 39. Okay, and then what were they offering there? That's it. Jesus could forgive the sin. And how much would it take within your being to forgive the ones that killed the Father's Son? And He never called an angel son. Psalm chapter 2. Let's get the picture, verse 1 and 2. Why are the nations in an uproar and the people devising vain things? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let's stop there. What's the picture? Why are the nations so upset? What are they doing? What are the kings of the earth doing? Acting like they're in charge? And they're taking a stand against who? Against the Lord and against His anointed. Look at what they say, verse 3. Let us tear their fetters apart and cast their cords away from us. What does the kings of the earth and the nations want? Yeah, I want to be a part. Get rid of him. Tear the fetters. I don't want him telling me what to do. They're all upset. Remove all this from us. Guess who they're challenging? God's anointed. Continue on. Verse 4. Here's God's response to the nations and the kings. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Does God scoff at people? People can get so corrupt that they think that they can do things on their own without him. And how does God see it? It's totally foolish. He scoffs at them. God scoffs at people's foolishness. Continue on verse 5. But as for me, God speaking here, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. What is God's message? I've appointed a king. We don't want anything to do with you, God. Don't tell me what to do and how I ought to live. Tear the fetters off. And God said, you know what I've done? I've installed my king. What are you going to do about it? Let's keep going. Verse 7. I will surely tell the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. This is where the Hebrew 1:5 is quoted. Today I have begotten you. He's talking about whom? Jesus. And now the Hebrew writer is trying to prove in Hebrews 1, the Son is much greater than any angel. He's the King. He's God's anointed. Let's continue on to move. Look at verse 8. Ask of me, talking about the Son. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possessions. What has God given to the Son, the King's Son? Authority over what? All the nations of the earth are under the Son's authority, right? Let's continue on verse 9. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall shatter them like earthenware. How's the picture here about the Son and his rule? How does he describe it? I could break it. How easy can I break the nations? Like earthenware? Yes, sir. And always remember, to what extent does the Son rule? God said, I've given you an inheritance. What's that inheritance? He's been given all authority. The nations are your inheritance, all the way to the ends of the earth are under the Son. You remember you study the book of Revelation? You know, book of Revelation, Rome was the power on the earth. And Rome was just destroying God's people and hurting them greatly. And God's people had no armies. They couldn't fight against Roman government. and you see the Son step forward, and what does the Son do? Yeah, the Son dismantles all the Rome, even the kings of the earth. In Revelation 17, he makes that real clear when he gives the breakdown of what all this means. There was this king Son, and there was the kings of the earth. I'm going to obliterate them. I'm going to take them all down. And even the kings of the earth that took their stand, I rule. Message is, better pay attention to the words of the Son. Let's keep going. Look at verse 10. Now therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. What's the message being sent out? Kings of the earth, better pay attention. And you better, judges, you better show some discernment here. Verse 11. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. What should the earth be doing in response to Jesus, God's anointed? Show some reverence. Worship the Lord with reverence. You know what's lacking today? Reverence to the Son. Everything about worship has become this free for. Well, I like this. I feel good about this. It's not about what you want. It's about what the Son speaks. We need to pay attention to that. And we need to show some reverence and rejoice with some trembling because of who the King is. Verse 12. Do homage to the Son that he not become angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in him. What's the message? What if you take refuge in the Son? Who's the ones that really take refuge in the Son? Tell me who that would be. The faithful, give me another name for them. It would be the church. That's who they are. Come over right quick to Acts 4, and let's see who these kings that take the stand. He's going to tell us specifically who they are. Acts chapter 4. Peter's going to quote the psalm. Look at verse 25. Acts 4:25. He says, who by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said, why did the Gentiles rage, and why did the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand. The rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Now, Psalms 2, it says, against his anointed. Peter inserts the term Christ. What's Christ mean? God's anointed. They took their stand against God's anointed. Who are these people? Verse 27. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. Who really did it? Who took their stand against God's anointing? He calls them out and calls them by name. Herod, Pontius Pilate, and all the Gentiles. We're going to use the Romans to do our bidding so it doesn't fall on us. And so he tells us who Psalm 2 was talking about. Why did the kings of the earth rage? Pay attention to God's anointed. And so here the Hebrew writer is addressing to the people who came into Christ, and now they want to rebel and turn their back on the Son. How smart is that? How smart is it for us, church, to not listen and pay attention to the Son? We're about to enter a time of worship to God. What should be on our heart and mind? Reverence to the Son. Yes, ma'am. Well, the Gentiles were the one. That's the Roman people. He used the Roman army to come, and they arrested Jesus and took him off. See, they were raging against him too. That's why they were raged. Okay, continue on. Come back to Hebrews 1. He never called an angel son. Verse 6. And when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, and let the angels of God worship him. What is Jesus' relationship to angels? He's above angels. What are angels called to do? Worship the Son. These powerful angels that did God's bidding and did all these killings back there, you angels worship the Son. Better pay attention to what the angels' purpose is. Verse 7. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels wind and his ministers a flame of fire. What does the Son do with the angels? What does he do with them? Can he make them wind? Can he turn them into fire? That's the Son's choice. He's over the angels. He's Son. He's the anointed one. The earth is for him. And so the angels, he can turn into wind. He can turn into a flame of fire. They're his ministers. Verse 8. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. What does he call the Son here? This is a quote out of Psalm 45. He calls him God. The Son is not only God's Son and God's a Father to him, but God calls him God. Which of the angels is he ever called God? Should we be paying attention to the Son? These scriptures are the scriptures the Son speaks. We need to be heeding and paying attention. Okay, I know we'll continue on next week with this. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.